My name is Simon, or Mr. Bag to some people in here, as I've seen some pupils sneak in, so I've got to be on my best behaviour now. And welcome to the church. We're doing this series in Philippians, which is about how we are transformed. And for some of us in here, that's quite a new experience. For many of us in here, it's quite a long experience, and for some, longer than others. But let's just, as we come and we think about today, be open-minded that no matter what stage we are at, there's still good stuff and things for us to take away in here. And I get to talk about ambition, which is a very interesting topic, and I'm going to share some thoughts on that as we go through. Now, I remember when I woke up on my 10th birthday, I had this absolute air of glee. I was so excited that I had turned 10. I woke up and I got ready for the day. I turned on the TV and I watched my favourite programme. And I saw everyone on it and I was like, yes, I am going to be like that. And I put my shoes on and I ran downstairs and my mum was at the table and she said, are you ready? And I said, yes, I am ready. And I opened the door proudly and I walked outside, and just as I was about to leave the town, a man came up to me and said, you can't go in the long grass just yet. You need to go and talk to the professor. And he escorted me to the professor's house, and there I stood, and I had to choose my first Pokemon. Okay. And I'm not going to lie to you guys, this is a big decision in a 10-year-old life. This is the first Pokemon that you're going to have on your route to be a Pokemon master. And this is a decision that, sadly, I made 2 weeks ago as a 25-year-old man. Okay. That's one of my childish ambitions, but maybe not one of my godly ambitions. And just to start today, I want you to turn to the person next to you or in a little group, and I just want you to discuss those three questions. What are your ambitions? What ambitions have you fulfilled? And what are you hoping to fulfill? So I'm just going to give, in true teacher style, 3 minutes to talk to your partners. Off you go. Okay. If we could come back together, that'd be grand. Looks like I'm going to have to give people warnings. Looking at you, Miss Code. Stop talking. Actually, that's a good point. Can everyone put their hands up for me? That's just a really good way. Just put your hands up. Right, Matt, you've got some people who want to give some answers now. Oh. The kids fall for it, but you don't. Right, if anyone does just fancy sharing, if you would just chuck your hand up, that'd be grand. Otherwise, honestly, this time-filling activity is not going to work. And Mike put his hand up. Go talk to Mike. There we go.
I hand the mic to Mike.
I want to spend more time in my garden.
That's a great ambition, more time in your garden. That's super. Come on, there's some more.
When I was 5, I decided I wanted to be a midwife.
Super.
And when I was 23, I became a midwife, and I was a midwife for 12 years, so that was an ambition that I fulfilled. And
super, well done. Well done. This gentleman over here, he had his hand up.
My ambition is basically is to become a Christian. I'm a Christian anyway. Basically, my ambition is basically to become a singer, of course. But I say this, I become a Christian singer, become a Christian band, worship God every single day. And also that my girlfriend is now a Christian, as you know now. Yeah, my girlfriend became a Christian now. So guys, so she might be coming to this church soon.
Yeah. Super.
So
well
become a Christian band. And perform all around the world and become a singer. So yeah, that's my ambition. Thank you.
Well done. Just that guy at the back in the white T-shirt, and then we will stop and have a think.
I've got to say, this has been surreal the last two nights. Last night and today is unbelievable. It's absolutely blowing my mind. Thank you to Rory for inviting me across yesterday as well with Shirley and Ed. From a young age, as far back as I can remember, I've always been the one to help everyone else. You know, if someone else grazes their knee, I'll go and support them with trying to get the blood off their knee rather than looking out for myself. I've always been that person. And I'm not going to go into the journey. There's been a long journey that's happened up till now. And it's been a rough one. Like I said, we've all got our stories. We've all had our journey. And mine now is just starting to come to light within the last couple of years or so. I now help a lot of people with addiction. I go into schools and I help a lot of the kids with gangs, knives, drugs, all that side of things. And up till last night, I thought that was it for me. I thought that was my calling. Rory, I was up this morning at 4 o'clock this morning writing something for today, and again, it's completely tied into this. It's unbelievable. And I had messages last night coming through with the addiction meeting as well. I believe now that this is where I've got to go, and this is what I've got to do forward, and I thank everyone for that.
Hallelujah. Right, okay, so puts my ambition to shame, let's be honest, but maybe what I am going to share today we all know already, so therefore let's take it as encouragement. Okay, we are going to jump into Philippians, if that's all right. So it's Philippians 3, verses 10 to 21. If you've got a church Bible, you get a prize if you can shout out the number first, because I forgot to check it. What page number is it on? Boom, 1180. There we go. You can win something later. Again, that's what I say to the kids, and then they forget, whilst I'm not sure adults are quite going to. Okay. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again with tears, many live as enemies to the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Let's pray. Father God, we pray as we unpack this scripture now, that you may speak to us through it, and that we may be truly attentive to this call to be heavenward in everything that we do. And Lord, may you reignite our fires or spur on our passions to pursue your kingdom here on earth. We ask this in your name. Amen. As some of you know, I spent a long time in Hull, where I sort of went to university, ran a nightclub, and then became a teacher. And there's one thing I love about the North, is they are just so blunt in everything that they say. And I think Paul was possibly the first Northerner ever to exist, because, I mean, he's done my work here for me. That is such a simple passage to break down, because he is so succinct and logical in what we are to do when we think about our godly ambitions. So just as I normally do, I want to go through this verse by verse before we reflect and think about how we can apply this in our lives. Paul starts with this: I want to know Christ. Remember, Paul's this legalist, this academic, this incredibly smart man who used to challenge and convict Christians before he went to the road to Damascus. But this is an incredibly emotional plea that he gives out here. He's not actually asking, I want to understand God, I want to know God. Just in the words of Poison, I want to know what love is. I know you can show me. And I think about this idea of love, and all the kids at school around this time of year can only talk about one thing, and it's this wretched TV series, Love Island. And I have no capacity of care for it. But yet all the children want to tell me about Harry or Joe or Michael or whatever they're called, and I just sit and nod. And I just thought to myself, you know what, I'll watch a clip, it'll be a bit of fun. And no, honestly, I felt my brain cells die. as I did so. Apologies if you watch Love Island here. You can get prayer at the end for it. And I watched this clip, and there were these two young people, and they sort of sat on a sofa, and, you know, they sort of had their arms on the side of the sofa, and they were looking at each other, and the woman just said, you know, when I look in your eyes, I really feel like I know you. I was like, you've had a camera on you for 2 hours, and this is what you think. You think you know love. You think you understand who this person is. I don't think Paul is saying here, Jesus, I really want a cheeky Nando's with you, where I can look into your eyes and get to know you. He's crying out for something much deeper. He's actually saying that I'm almost envious of the disciples that got to walk with you and actually got to see you day to day, because that is the nature of relationship that I'm committed to. And when we are coming to Christ and we are saying we are Christians, that's really what we're saying. Again, we'll look at it a bit later, but he's already said it in Philippians 1, where he says, we are dead to ourselves because to live as Christ is gain. We are truly pursuing the power of God. And that power comes in the resurrection and the participation of sufferings. See, Paul wants to understand what it really means to live in the resurrection power, this life-giving power that he is going to be in. And again, you look at this verse 11 here, and somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Some theologians think this was Paul sort of saying, you know, I'm aware that I'm going to die soon, and this is the fulfillment that's going to come. He actually continued his ministry for about 8 more years after writing Philippians. But he has this realization, this spiritual realization, that actually to understand resurrection power, we must die ourselves. And there's actually a physical death that has to come around there, as well as a death to our, how do you phrase it simply? Death to ourselves. When I'm saying that, I mean like we no longer pursue our ambitions and instead pursue a godly ambition. But he's saying here that actually I do physically have to die to be in heaven as well. And that's the realization that comes there. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. Often when you read the work of Paul, you often get this sense that he always thought he was right. Don't know if you've ever experienced or met someone like that, but you know, you sort of, you open these letters to Paul and you go, oh right, okay, fair enough, Paul. In fact, we got to a point at university, my small group and I would often just, you know, we'd quote things in the Bible and say, probably Paul wrote that because it's Paul in it, he gets everything right. Actually here we see this real bout of humility from him. Actually, he's saying, I'm not there. I've got a long way to go. He's not like Mr. Bean, just sat there and waiting. He's still pursuing. Even in his older age, he understands that he's not quite arrived there yet. He hasn't obtained all of heaven's glory. So he says, press on towards the goal. Take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. You know, so we've all had experiences here where we've come to Christ, whether through a relationship with people or whether through an extraordinary encounter. But let's just think about Paul's encounter. He was walking on a road and all of a sudden he was blinded. Everything that he knew, he could no longer see. And he had to go on that journey. He had to find a way to understand, actually, what is this ethereal power that is communicating with him directly? And actually, Paul, if you go through his letters and you read his letters up to the point of the church in Philippi, you see how Christ convicted him and changed his character. He recognized that actually he had to die to his pride. He had to die to his, to an extent, his intelligence as well. He had to let go of these things to get a greater understanding of God. And all of this was with the mentality that I press on towards the goal to win the prize to which God has called me. And actually, when we come to think about our ambitions now, as we think about what we are to aspire to do as Christians, it's this mentality we must have at all stages. That we need to recognize that we want to truly know who God is. We want to truly understand what the resurrection and what our life in heaven may be. But in order to get there, crack on, push through. This might surprise a lot of you in here, but one of my favourite events of the year is the 100 metres staff relay at Bishop Wand. And what might surprise you even further is I run it every single year because I love it. There is something about taking the baton and then, I mean, I watched the video of it, it just looks like I'm jogging, but really, I trust you, I am pushing myself as fast as I can and running and watching everyone go ahead of you and realising your team's last again, but that's fine. But there, you know, it's a big thing, and to actually commit to something with everything that you've got for that distance is what we are now being called to do in our Christian lives. So let's look at how Paul sets this out for us. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too will God make clear to you. So for those of you who are mature in here, you're fine. You understand it. For us who are immature, like myself, God will make it clear to us. Okay? We've got to have this mentality wherever we go, whatever we understand. And I think part of that is self-reflection as well. I think there is a lot of sitting back and just reflecting and thinking. One of the greatest theologians to ever live, Winnie the Pooh, often says... Honestly, you guys are not reading the right theology here. Come on. Winnie the Pooh says, "Sometimes I just sit and think, and sometimes I just sit." And you know what? There is such power. Such power in that. But actually, we need to stop and evaluate as we're going through our lives and actually just sort of do this realignment, I suppose, that we are facing the right way. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Again, if we didn't quite understand Paul here, we'd think he's being quite big-headed again, saying, guys, in order to get it right, just follow me. But actually, if we go and read 1 Corinthians, an earlier letter of his, he says, imitate me for as I imitate Christ. Paul understood that to live this Christian life, we must live as Christ. And again, in your small groups this week, I'd encourage your leaders to take you through looking at how Christ lived in order to understand the ambitions. Almost this, I don't know if you've seen that lovely video, it's of a couple who have filmed all of their holidays over their time together. And it's always the woman pulling the man along. But it's this lovely idea, and you get this real sense in the media of it that their characters are changing together. And I almost like the idea for how we are pursuing God, and that we are just taking his hand and following him wherever I go. But it comes with a bit of a warning. Now tell you even again with tears, many live as enemies in the cross of Christ. Paul is very aware that there are people who contend against the cross. Whether these are people who are angry against the church and have had a negative emotion attached to it, or whether these are people who the devil has managed to take hold of and will stop the furthering of the kingdom, we have to be aware of them. And Paul says here, now I tell you again, even with tears. Now, lots of the theology that I read and considered has different interpretations for these tears. Some believe that Paul was sort of having an angry cry, that he was so pent up and so angry about how the church of Philippi was being contested that it drove him to cry. But a lot of people would say that actually this was a sadness on Paul, that he knew that some people would never know the love of God because they were so against the cross. And he goes, I mean, these are harsh words that he then writes. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. You know, actually, we can just say our destiny is in God. Our God is our God. Our glory is in our God. Much nicer phrasing. But, you know, we need to be aware of them. We need to, in our ambitions, be aware that there are people that will try and stop us pursuing that heavenward goal. And there are people who will try and contend the church. I was sat with Dave yesterday during Lifeline having lunch together, and I just said, it's so wonderful what's happening in the church at the moment. I'm not normally one for these pictures and all that sort of prophetic stuff. That's not my gifting. But I said, it just feels like a gentle pitter-patter of rain, of just these little spiritual moments that are happening with new people coming in, with good conversations. And I just think to myself, that's so wonderful, but let's not get complacent. Let us be aware that some things are still going to contend and contest us And I think maybe at the end we can pray into that a bit, and maybe we can take some time to just ensure that as we are ambitious as a church, as we share this vision of those four pillars upholding the kingdom values, you know, we are all aware and self-aware of our weak spots. Because this is the ultimate goal, but our citizenship is in heaven, and where we eagerly await a saviour from there, who, by the power that enables him, brings everything under control. We will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like glorious bodies. I was trying to find like an animated gif of a character called Goku in Dragon Ball Z, where he goes Super Saiyan mode and he turns into this white body to try and get this idea. I'm not quite sure that's going to happen to us. I still dream that one day, you know, as I come nearer and nearer to God, I'll start losing weight, but that's never going to happen. But, you know, there's this element where we are transformed. There is this moment where there are people who have just, not to boast, that's not my intention of this, please, but there are people who have walked up to me and just asked me, you know, there's something different about you. There is something odd. Oh, that's what they were saying. Oh, yeah. Oh, in the words of Sheldon, I'm not insane. My mother got me tested. And there we go. But, you know, there is something that is so different about the church. You know, I was chatting with some of the parents from our school, and, you know, they were saying some really lovely things about how much their child enjoys my lessons, and I went, great, I'll pay your son later. But, you know, they said, actually, we just really value your Christian approach to what you're doing. And I just think, actually, that's what I want to be. That's what I'm aiming to be. I'd love to be a great teacher. I'd love to be all of these things. But actually, I want to be a Christian first and foremost. And I want to encourage you all with this, that this is what we're intending to do. I'm not criticizing. I'm not trying to say we're not doing that. I want today to be encouragement to us to keep on going. So, this is what Paul says in Philippians. This is how he outlines it. Now we've got to think about this road to success, okay? How are we going to achieve our ambitions? You know what? I love how godly your ambitions were, and it was very bad of me to make the assumption that we'd all have silly ones that we'd come up with. And, you know, I'm sorry to Pikachu, but obviously my ambition to be a Pokemon master is not necessarily going to be godly. But we've got to think about how we become godly and what aspects to become godly in. And I was praying about this, and I was thinking about this, and I always hate this bit where a preacher stands up and goes, actually, I'm broken as well, and, you know, we're all pursuing God, but sorry, that is actually what I'm going to say. You know, we're all on that same journey, so I've got no answers for you today. That's for, I would encourage you to go away into your small groups and have a chat about that with your leaders or with your discipleship partners, have a think about that. But I want to just finish today by giving some thoughts. Let's think about our personal lives. Let's think about those that we are around. Are we godly with them? I love this. I've got many nicknames at school. I won't share them all because some of them are too rude. But one of my nicknames is Two Pint Bag, which I absolutely love. Because whenever we go to the pub together as teachers, I'll only ever have two pints. Because I know that after three pints, I don't enjoy the night as much, and I definitely don't enjoy the next morning. But actually, part of that is I don't want to put myself into a position where I'm no longer edifying God. There's a big thing about that. another nickname I get is Bible Basher Bag. I'm not such a big fan of that one. But, you know, quite often I will quote Bible verses with people, and I will try and encourage and love them. But some of my atheist colleagues aren't so keen on that one. But in everything that we do we communicate God? Do we sit there and do we actually show that light that we are called to or that we are going to get? I don't think we need to be shoving it down the throats of people that we believe in God, but I think there is something about how our actions speak louder than words. And just whilst we're thinking about our personal lives as well, it's actually about our private lives as well. I love this analogy of behind closed doors. My dad, a very godly man, always challenged me and said, Simon, actually, you know, when you close your bedroom door, is what you're doing edifying God? Or are you saying to Jesus, actually, I want you to step outside? Remember that we, when we come to God, we have said, God, I want you in all things. we've got to think about our career. Are we godly in our career? And when Dave gave me this topic, he said, oh, you know, isn't it funny how God talks to you through some things? And I was like, Dave, what do you want about? What do you understand? And actually, as I was preparing and thinking about this, I went, oh, flipping heck, I am actually incredibly prideful at work. And I've had to check myself. I always had this dream. When I became a teacher, I was like, right, by 25, I want to be a head of year or a head of department. As you know, head of year, caring for children, not my strength. Okay? Again, another kid had an animal die last week, but I didn't tell him to man up this time. But I got to my 25th birthday and I sat in the head's office and I went, so, 25, can I be a head now? And I think it was God's will that the answer was no. Actually, I think I've had a really humbling experience this year. I've been offered two head of department roles, but neither came through. And actually, I think that's really godly, because the value that I took from it was everyone said that you are the character to be a head of department. And again, as we're thinking about ambitions, we're thinking about our character in order to fulfill those ambitions. We don't need the title on the badge. We don't need the pay. Well, we probably do need the paycheck and the bank account, let's be honest. We've all got mortgages. But, you know, we actually, what are we aiming to attain? Actually, what is the heart behind our goal? You know, if I was to read out my full title, it's Simon Bagge, Head of Salisbury House, International Dimensions Coordinator, Teacher of Geography, RS, Business Studies and Economics. Now, that's a great title, but it either says, you know, sterling teacher, overworked teacher, or actually it's just meaningless, because a title means very little of what you're actually doing. And I think when we think about our career, for some of us in here, we might be thinking about a career in the church. And I remember when I went to university, I joined this church, and in the second session, we were having this worship evening, and I was sat down, and this guy came and put his arm around me, and he started praying for me, and he said, you're so gifted, there's so much God wants to do with you. And I was like, yeah, boom, brilliant, let's go. Because actually all I heard was, I'm great. And I turned up to the church and I said, right, what do you want me to do? Thinking that they were going to give me a Bible and say, we want you to preach on this, or they were going to give me a guitar and say, lead worship. And they gave me a bleach, a toilet brush, anti-bac, and a spray. And they said, go do the men's toilets. And after 2 weeks, I went, nah, church leadership's not for me. Definitely not. But looking back on it now, they were testing my heart. And they were saying, actually, you know, if you are truly going to pursue godly values, your heart has to be in the right place. And I think it's so interesting Diana brings up pride. Because there's a really good proverb that says, humble yourselves or be humiliated to humility. And I think actually, maybe for some people, check yourselves before you wreck yourselves. Do not let the demon of pride come in upon you. Because your ambition is solely heavenward, and everything that you are doing is for heaven. As soon as you let pride into your life, you're saying, I am greater than God. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to be humiliated. I've been humiliated. I went through a horrid phase in my life where I nearly lost a lot of things. And I genuinely believe that was God saying, you did not humble yourself in time. It's a painful experience. And again, we could do a whole series on pride, because actually it's a really difficult thing. But if you want to understand pride, go and read Samson in Judges. Go and understand what a man blessed by God who pursues a non-godly thing has to go through in order to realign themselves with God. We have to think about our personal or our relationship life as well in our ambitions. Many of you in here are married or have girlfriends or boyfriends. Many of us are single. And we have to think about actually how are we pursuing God or being heavenward in that focus. Are we praying for our partners? Are we praying with our partners? Are we reading the Bible together? Are we saying that prayer of, God, how do you want to use me or us or me within that relationship? Remember that thing where we gave our lives to God and we said we are holy in God and we are holy for you? Marriage is the coming together of two people where two people become one. There's that mentality there as well. I think there's a thing here to say as well about family. I think the kids team have been really challenged on this recently. Like, I think there's a thing about when you're raising children, your ambition is for that child to also meet God. So I think there's, I mean, Joe and I have spoken about it, but there's a thing of actually how do we as the kids team equip you as parents to talk about what the kids have done in kids' work and how to sort of further that reflection during the week. Anyway, that's just a thought for another time. I don't want to be directive today because everyone's ambitions are different. Because a large part of this is between your walk with you and God. And I don't think that someone at the front who you barely know is going to give you the life's answers that you need. So I'd encourage you to go away and talk with someone. But since we've done transformation, there's been this analogy that I haven't been able to escape, and I want to leave you with it now. It's encouragement. It's not anything, you know, hellfire and all that. But I sat there, and I mean, I won't lie, I'll be very honest. A lot of the weeks I've sat here and I've gone, I haven't really got anything from that sermon. And I've sort of gone home and I've been like, I don't really feel fed. And that's a very prideful thing to begin with because I wasn't attentive to God. But I think sometimes we think that when we're doing very simple themes, that if we are older or more experienced, however you wish to phrase it, it's no longer applicable to us. And I think it is entirely applicable to us as well. Because at the end of the day, we're still here for the same purpose. Last Christmas, I went round to the Wellses, and the Wellses are very loving to me. They've taken me under their wings since I moved here, and they cook for me about every week or so. And they gave me a Christmas present, and it was very, very lovely. I'll show you it, because they've bought it for me to use. They have bought me my very own pair of house slippers to wear in their house. Okay, how lovely is that? You laugh now, wait till you see what the other pair are like. Okay, now these are beautiful slippers. They're from Knotcuts, they're Jackdaw, which is a lovely brand. Okay, look how thick the top layer is of them. So you've got proper coating from the cats that keep on trying to bite my toes. You've got this beautiful furry lining that just really makes your feet feel like you've got baby kittens rubbing against and purring them. And then you've got these wonderful soles here. I always love a good sole, you know, because it means that you can actually walk around in them. But they're not my favourite pair. They're not the pair that I would choose to wear all the time. Because these are my slippers. All right? These are my wonderful slippers from the age of 16. So these are 9 years old. Okay, and they've done many, many walks with me, as you can tell from the soles of these slippers. Okay, but I cannot express to you that these are so much more comfortable than those to me, because I've walked in them, and I've got them, and I know them. And there's something so lovely about this one little hole here that when I accidentally forget to change my shoes before going to small group, that when I walk in a puddle, it just reminds me that God loves me. And actually, I don't want to throw them away because they still serve their purpose. They're not done. They still cover my feet. They still stop the cats from biting my toes. Whether you are an old timer or whether you are a new pair, see where this was going? You know what? We've all still got the same purpose. And we've still got that same ambition. And actually, my encouragement to you today is to remember that we have died to ourselves because to live is Christ is gain. And as we walk and as we move through this life, as we press on and run that good race, as Paul encourages us to, whether in our personal, private, or career life, we're still fulfilling the purpose he has called us to. Let's pray. Loving Father, who is the master of all things, You know the beginning and the end. You are Jehovah Jireh, who was our provider. You are the one who will one day come on the horseback with a blood-stained cloak and a double-edged sword which says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we will one day know the new earth and the new heaven. But whilst we're here on earth, God, help us continue to run the good race. Help us to pursue, God, your intentions, your will on our lives. Pray we are attentive to how you want us to be ambitious. Pray that we shine like stars so that people can see you in our lives. And God, in all things, may we be humbled, because we have died to ourselves, because to live for you is gain. We ask this all in your holy, precious, and powerful name. Amen.